Well, I hope you're enjoying your Independence weekend. We'll have a live program for you tomorrow night, by the way, so make sure you're part of that. When we come back, full hour phone calls with Dr. Mona Lisa Schultz on intuition right now on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast with Dr. Mona Lisa Schultz. You were talking about an actor, a well-known actor, that you saw some heart problems with. He obviously was, what, in denial about it?
Whatever it was, he didn't know about it. And then, so he just talked about his career and how the passion had gone out of his life and said goodbye. 2 weeks later, I get my People magazine, and he's in the obituaries. He died of a massive coronary.
Unbelievable. It is believable, I guess, with what you do.
I felt bad.
I'm sure. Well, what can you do?
There's nothing you can do.
No.
I'm just telling you. That's all I'm telling you. It was interesting.
So many people don't want to go to a doctor because they don't want to be told that there's something wrong. So they figure if they don't go, they're okay. It makes no sense.
That's not helpful.
Makes no sense at
that's
all.
It's just not wanting to hear bad news doesn't make it go away.
No, not at all. If you came across a particular case in what you do with, let's say, intuition, how far out do you see things? Like, because it's not just, well, like you said earlier, you don't do psychic material at all. But, I mean, do you ever get impressions, Mona Lisa, about the future? I mean, that it just gnaws on even you?
Yeah, well, I mean, a perfect example is what with him. Yeah, I mean, you get an example of if you continue on the current path, this is more likely to happen. And it's like the robot on Lost in Space, warning, warning, warning. You're like wanting to put out a warning to tell the person change direction. Because ultimately, the whole point is, if you get a hunch, an intuition, that something bad could happen in the future, the inference is that you could change it. Well, why would you get that message? Hello?
Yeah.
Do you understand? Why would you get that warning unless you could have some capacity to affect your future with a higher power? And so my point is that given, and astrology does this too, or anything, given your current constellation of behavior and relationships, this is where you're heading. You get a hunch, an intuition that that's where the person's heading. So then you warn the person with these factors in your personality and these issues in your current body. These symptoms in your body are more likely to travel in this direction unless you change these elements. Now, I understand that every illness is always in part due to diet, genetics, the environment, and so on. You can't change a gene as of yet. There's only so much you can do about your environment, except the people in it and your personality. You can change some of those. And so you can have some elements of rearranging your future if you know where it might be heading. And that's what I help people do.
Good for you. Let's go to the calls. You ready?
Yes.
First time caller, Rachel in Arcadia, California. You're up with us. Hey, Rachel, go ahead.
Hello. Hi, Rachel. How old are you, Rachel?
36. I had to think about it for a second.
How can I be of help? What's your basic issue?
What do you think causes fibroids, and can a person try to cure it themselves?
Well, fibroids are the second warning sign, warning bell in the intuitive board. It lets you know that you're having trouble with relationships in your life with creativity, but for you, it's third emotional center. It has to do with weight, and it has to do with carrying responsibility. I see that you carry an awful lot of responsibility in your relationships, and the people around you are in lots of different directions, take on lots of different projects, but aren't as necessarily responsible. That you carry a lot of responsibility in families. This cat puts on weight on you. The weight turns to fat, estrogen, and that feeds fibroids. What do you do for a living, Rachel?
I'm not doing Well, anything. Like right now, I'm trying to look for work, and it's been very hard. And also, I had purchased, I probably shouldn't have bought this, but I bought Soy Balance. And then once I read the back of it, it says something about it works kind of like estrogen.
And estrogen. You can't do that.
Don't take it?
Phytoestrogens,
yeah.
If you take soy, for some people it may decrease it, but for you, it may be making your fibroids worse. What you have to do is consider going to an acupuncturist and Chinese herbalist and having them balance your hormones. Make sure you work with a good OBGYN to make sure the fibroid isn't sticking on your bladder or anything like that. But work with the issue of balancing money and love. Who helps support you financially?
She's off the line now.
Melissa, oh, good. So. Good luck.
Off and away. And let's restrict these to primarily questions for you instead of personal readings.
Okay.
Because if we do that, we will never get off the air.
Okay.
Trust me.
Okay.
Let's go to Eric in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Eric, go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Excellent show as usual. You called me better. It's been about a year since to the day since I've called in, but I always listen.
Thank you.
I guess my question would be, to you, I was born in 1972, and I'm very familiar with the little intuitive voice that lives inside of me. I actually kind of like it. I look at it as being my detector, so to speak. It just and it's never wrong, so I never question it. But I guess my question is, seeing as how as children were predominantly right-brained as children and thrust into a left-brain way of thinking and doing and learning and being, I have a feeling that kind of diminishes as you get older. And I guess my question to you is, if you can figure out a way through meditation, et cetera, to stop that left-brain chatter, and get more in sync with the right brain, does that intuition signal get any stronger or weaker because of anything that might be going on in your life?
First of all, if you are a right brain dominant person, which means you're left-handed, you're more likely to have access to intuition, first of all. Second of all, if the older you get, the more access to intuition you get, because your frontal lobe circuits for sensing go away, especially as you get to menopause and testopause. Yes, a man, I think, goes through testopause. His testosterone levels go down. He's less interested in sports cars and blondes and more interested in emotions and intuition. So actually,
right,
you get more interested in intuition as you get older. So, and meditation does help you access your intuition. So does yoga, and so does getting interested in nature and plants. So actually, Eric, you are on the right path. I don't think working a lot with computers and technology helps you. I think it puts you in the opposite direction. You bring up some excellent points.
Okay, Eric, thanks. Good luck to you. Next up, let's go to Margaret in Santa Paula, California. Hey, Margaret, go ahead.
Hello. Good
Hi.
Evening. No, you know, listening to your program and listening to Dr. Mona Lisa, I think I've figured out why I have created a pain in myself. It's a pain in the ass, literally.
Oh, my God.
No, really. I'm trying to think back. It started when I was married to my first husband, who was a horrible man, and I used to think men are just a pain in the ass. So I have created a terrible pain in the rectum. And I had it once so badly that I had to get out of my body in order to survive that horrible pain. And then later on, I began to think, maybe I'm creating that pain because I want to get out of my body.
Margaret, how old are you?
I'm 64.
Margaret, the first thing that I would say is that since a very early age, when you're around a certain kind of man, and you don't feel safe and secure in the world, you check out. You leave the area. your problems are first emotional center, and this has to do with safety and security in the world, a sense of belonging. And this affects the immune system. So you have to be very careful when you don't feel safe in a family, whether it's your husband or your family of origin with a similar man. Da-ding, da-ding, da-ding. I want you to think about that with a therapist. That your body stays in one place and your brain goes somewhere else and your immune system with your rectal area suffers. So I want you to talk to a therapist about some man in your family of origin when you were growing up that's similar to your husband's. Good luck.
In this day and age, in this moment of stress that people are being bombarded with Mona Lisa from just about every angle, does this also, besides it being a medical intuitive provider, basically, does this alleviate any problems by just having this ability? Do you create a different energy field around you or anything like that?
Actually, I think that it, I call it psychic sickness. I think that it causes you to be more sensitive to your environment. The more intuitive and sensitive you get, the more likely you are to be sensitive to people's emotions, especially people's anger, more likely you are to be sensitive to electrical wires, chemicals. There are a whole variety of people who have a hypersensitivity to environmental illness. So you have to be very careful and learn skills on how to manage excessive intuitive porousness. I teach a lot of people on how to manage that with mindfulness.
Do you think the medical community will ever come out and say, we are now convinced that the human body has an additional sense, and it is this intuitive ability in order to do all these wonderful things, and we just never recognized it before, but it's there?
I think people have to keep things separate to feel safe. I think people have to keep things separate in separate departments to keep safe. Surgery is in a separate department from psychiatry.
Yeah.
Anesthesiology is separate from surgery. And I think that sometimes people, law is separate from surgery. People like categories. They make them feel safe.
Let's go to Joe in Huntington Beach, California. Hey, Joe, go ahead. You're on.
Hi, George and Mona Lisa.
Hi.
I was wondering, is there a way that people can actually block or unblock romantic relationships from their body?
Yes.
And, well, now, what do you mean by unblock, though? Somebody help me out.
Like, if a person tends to block romantic relationships, is there a way to stop doing that?
So, in other words, what's your first name again?
It's Joe.
Joe, and how old are you?
29.
Are you saying that you send people away?
Yeah, I was trying to keep it general for the show, but
okay,
yeah.
I understand. So my point is that what you do is your problems are second emotional center, balancing love and money. And then you try to find out how you have trouble allowing money in. But first emotional center, feeling safe and secure in the world, a sense of belonging. So what you do is you work with somebody on how you have a kind of intuitive porousness or anxiety that makes you more porous to someone's feelings and gives you a kind of anxiety that makes a close, intimate relationship harder so that the signals in an intimate relationship get crossed. Sometimes when someone's very intuitive, one-on-one relationships like dating is harder.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be a reason why it's harder for you. So working with someone who can actually, for 7 weeks, work on your thought patterns and why you think a relationship isn't possible. And then, believe it or not, get a matchmaker who can set you, wait a minute, before you completely lose it, get a matchmaker to set you up on a series of dates. Before the date, you talk to the counselor about why you don't think this person is for you. And then after the date, you talk to the counselor about what thought patterns are coming up for you. And after you've done those dates, eight times, you too will see how your brain is wiring differently for relationships.
Okay.
See how you just, your energy just went, because you have a kind of anxiety in the relationship area. The first thought that will come up to you in your mind will be, this person is not my type. And you'll hear me say in your mind, you'll remember me saying, like, your type works for you. You don't have a type. You're 29. I want you to do those two things, and you'll rewire your second emotional center for intuition. You'll literally rewire intuitively your brain and your body. Good luck.
Dr. Schultz, you've heard a lot about people being psychic vampires, right?
Yeah.
They take energy away from people. You know, that people want to get away from him. They don't want anything to do with them. Can those people, the psychic vampires, change that? Do they have that ability to fix themselves so people want to be next to them?
You know, another way of saying that is, that person is a narcissist. A narcissist, third emotional center, is balancing self-esteem versus responsibility. These people cease to exist unless you pour more energy into them, more energy. They're like a balloon. They deflate unless you're constantly pouring energy into them. Those people, something injured them, or it was injured in them when they were two. So their personalities in their brain are injured. I would say that it would take a lot of work in service. They would have to learn to be in service, like work in hospice. That person would have to work in hospice and be of care to someone outside of themselves. They would have to learn to be selfless for them to get out of that vampire-like quality. It's extremely hard because they frequently don't think that they have any problem at all.
No.
They like being the way they are.
And they don't understand why the room empties out.
Right, but you know what? A narcissist doesn't age well. So frequently when they get older, they get really despondent because they feel very alone, and sometimes they get help. We can only pray elder in life, but it's very, very hard. And the best thing we can do is not get sucked in to that problem where we want to be around them, because there's something seductive about wanting to be around someone like that. It's like being in a force field where you just get sucked in.
Well, I don't know about that, because I don't want to be around them.
You're smarter than a lot of people, but I want you to know there's something about you want to give to them. It's very seductive.
I've seen them empty rooms before, haven't you? Boom, they're gone. People don't want anything to do with them. Hey, so the latest book is called what?
The Intuitive Advisor.
And it's out there now at the bookstores, Amazon,
yes,
or just off your website?
It's on my own. You can go to the bookstores or go to Amazon or Simon, any bookstore. There's a new book coming out with Louise Hay called All Is Well, so look for that. It's a big book. There's also a new program called Stress Busters on Hay House. It's a webinar, so look for that on my website. There's all kinds of things going on. We're having a great time teaching people intuition.
Well, that's super. And the website, drmonalisa.com with a DR. And we're going to be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, where we will take final phone calls. And also, don't forget, we've got a live program for you on July 4th. It's a holiday. So when you're done with your festivities, make sure you're listening to Coast AM, because it's one of those classic shows. I shall be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with final phone calls. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Dr. Mona Lisa Schultz. Mona Lisa, I'm getting a lot of fast blasts. People would like a quick review of these signals, these body signals that people have, for those who missed it earlier. So go ahead.
The first warning light on your intuitive dashboard is your immune system, bones and joints, and skin. It will light up with symptoms when you have problems in your family or some other group in your life. The second warning light is your lower back, uterus and ovaries, your pelvis. This will light up when you have problems balancing money and love. That was that second caller. The third light, your digestive tract, weight, problems with addiction. This area will light up intuitively, letting you know when you have problems with work or balancing your self-esteem. The fourth light, the one in the middle, your heart, breasts, and lungs. This will light up with symptoms of illness like asthma, cholesterol, hypertension, breast cysts. This will let you know when you have problems with your mood, emotional expression, anxiety, or nurturance, taking care of others. The fifth one is your neck, thyroid. This will light up when you have problems with communication, having a voice, being heard. The sixth one, rounding up the bend, is your brain, eyes, and ears. This one will light up with symptoms like headaches, eyes, styes, cataracts, tinnitus, deafness, when you have problems with perceiving the world or how you see it. And then the last but not least is the most important warning light on the end. This is the seventh one. This has to do with life-threatening illnesses like cancers, dementias, and others. This has to do with purpose in life. Why am I here? And contact with a spiritual purpose. Those are your seven intuitive centers.
What do you find to be some of the most important developments in alternative medicine these days? Is it things like this?
Oh, what I think is some of the most interesting ones.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago in the 80s, they had magnets. Everyone wanted to put magnets on.
Yeah.
Magnets have been used by Chinese medicine doctors for years to be put on meridians. And now what do we have? We have magnetic tensor MRIs that we use now for depression and other neurological illnesses. So now Western medicine has developed huge magnets, magnetic MRIs that we're using to treat disorders that that Chinese medicine and other complementary medicine practitioners have been using since the 80s, but people thought they were nuts.
Isn't that amazing how they develop it later on in life when it was there right under our noses all these years?
Oh, people have been selling magnetic mattresses for years. There's a whole company that's just magnets.
Magnets. I remember years ago I bought a pack of these magnets.
Now you know what I'm talking about. And now if you look it up, there's a huge now magnetic MRI that they use to treat depression and other neurological disorders. They place the magnet against the brain.
That is something. I wonder what happens, though, when the Earth's magnetic field shifts as it is,
if that
affects people.
That therein lies, this is my point. If you look at acupuncture theory, an acupuncture meridian is an energy wave that goes down a line. And if you read physics, that any electron that goes down a line, E down a line, creates a magnetic field. Well, we all know that your brain is filled with nerves. They create magnetic fields, which is why a magnet, magnetic therapy, can help. Well, why can't your thoughts, since they go down neuronal pathways, how come they can't create magnetic fields? And if that's the case, then, of course, we could pick up each other's magnetic fields, which, of course, would be the essence of intuition. But no, this is too far out. Of course it's not too far out. If we are now treating people with magnets, the next step will be that we can now be able to pick up magnetic waves. And you know this. Right before a storm, what happens? The cows, they get restless. Why? Because they pick the shift up in the drop of magnetic waves in the air, barometric pressure. So, I mean, it's only a step before they're going to be able to pick up the essence of what is intuition.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Linda in Eugene, Oregon. Hey, get us started, Linda. Hi.
Hi. I am glad to talk to you guys, and I was just interested in what your comments are on healing unforgiveness by focusing on that middle center where the heart and breastbone is.
Forgiveness. Well, if one is chronically angry about something,
mm-hmm.
then they carry it on their chest.
Mm-hmm.
And anger makes cholesterol, in a way, get inflamed and get vessels clogged. So literally, if you carry a grudge on your chest, you're clogging your vessels. You can see it that way. So you need to get angry, name what you're angry about it, and move it through. The metaphor for you, for anyone, is that if we stay in anger, it literally clogs our heart. It doesn't help anybody to stay angry. It clogs our heart. So a great affirmation tape would be Louise Hay or another. Louise Hay's got an anger-releasing tape where you literally do an imagery where you go up to the person, and in this tape, you imagine yourself talking to that person and what's made them angry. But then in the tape, it goes on and it shows how both of you are transformed through this process and you move it through. By doing that, you then allow yourself to then experience other events in your life that are filled with love and joy. And those open up vessels in your chest and heart and allow you to love again. That's how you move through forgiveness. That's how one does that.
Why does anger create such a harmful effect on people?
Well, first of all, anger is one of five basic emotions. Anger is a protective emotion. It lets us know that we're hurt, we've been injured, our rights are violated. So anger in itself is not bad. It's protective. If I kicked you in the knee, or I dented your car, or I stole from you, you'd get angry. It's protective. However, if you stay in anger, that's a thought pattern. And that's, we all have thought patterns that keep us stuck in anger, like I'm right, you're wrong, things should be different. It's not the event that made you angry. It's your thought pattern that keeps you stuck in anger. And those are things that we can prevent. You cannot prevent me from running into your car or from a variety of events, but you can prevent your thoughts that keep you stuck in anger, that I'm right, they're wrong, things should be different, it's unfair, because there's no such thing as fair. I don't know whoever designed the world, fairness was not included. The only way out of chronic anger, after you allow yourself to acknowledge that the event happened and then to move through it, is to accept radically what happened and accept what is. And then that allows you to move through it and also the vessels, the blood to move through your vessels in your chest. That's a mindfulness technique based on Thich Nhat Hanh. Accepting what is the only way to allow yourself through any suffering. It doesn't admit it's good. Like there's poverty in the world. You can stay chronically angry about that. That'll make you die of cholesterol and hypertension. Or you can work to making it better and at the same time accept what is.
Good point. All right, next up, let's go to Austin, Texas. Virginia, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering if the doctor had any experience with people with bipolar disorder or other mood disorders being particularly intuitive.
Yes, actually, because people who have problems regulating emotions, they shift from one emotion to the other to the other. There's less insulation usually between their emotions and someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
So there are more people with moodiness. They have trouble keeping their emotions stable while being around other people's feelings. So someone else's anger triggers their emotional shift. Someone else's fear triggers their emotional shift. As a result, they're more intuitively porous or sensitive to other people's emotions. So the good thing about them is they're intuitively porous. The bad thing about them is that they're emotionally unstable as a result. So the thing for people to do with emotional instability, bipolar, is to learn how to keep the intuition, but figure out how to relate, how to regulate the emotions as a result. And I suggest cognitive behavioral therapy, dialectic behavioral therapy, so that you can observe, describe, and watch the people around you being in distress. You can be intuitively keyed into the messed up parts of people's lives, but not lose your emotional footing, lose your mood as a result. You can watch people suffer, but not get depressed about it. That's very easy to say, but not very easy to do. And mindfulness, dialectic behavioral therapy is very helpful to help people do that with bipolar disorder.
When you train people, medical people, for this, are they open to it? Are they receptive? Do they fight you? What do they do?
When you use that term, they understand that, because any medical practitioner can watch someone suffer. They then feel sad. They lose their emotional footing, and then they get burnout. So then you say your intuition of keying into your patient's suffering is making you sick. They say, oh, you're right. So I can teach you how to maintain your intuition, getting keyed into your patient's suffering, but also learn how to put up a buffer. Thereby, you're teaching that person to acknowledge that they do have intuition that has a capacity to make them burnt out, access it, but also prevent themselves from getting sick.
All right, we go now to Redlands, California. It's Jeremy with us. Hey, Jeremy, go ahead.
Hey, George, how's it going?
Good.
Good. So I had a question for Dr. Schultz.
Sure.
George and me and I think some of the other Coast to Coast listeners have been thinking that people have been acting kind of weird lately, kind of more agitated or something like that. I was wondering if the doctor had picked up on anything like that and if maybe had some insights into what that might be.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy. Good question. Yes, we're picking up that there's something afoot here, Mona Lisa, and it's something I think that it's big, but people are just whacked out lately. They're just uptight. Do you sense that? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Oh, don't think that long. It's on.
You know, you can get Keaton. I have a good friend, Carolyn Mace. She's another medical intuitive. And I go into her kitchen, and she talks about these things. She says, oh, things are going to get difficult. They're going to get bad. They're going to get difficult. And she talks about feeling these things. And you can perceive this, I call it jagged energy. It's a jagged kind of energy. But then I can at the same time have a sense that everything is going to be okay. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when I feel this kind of restlessness, the cows are restless before the storm. In my house, lights burn out. I have trouble with the computer. Electricity starts to have problems. So much that when someone comes to my house for the telephone or something, they tell me that they think a meteor hit my house. I understand what you're talking about, but I still have to allow myself to have a spiritual practice so that I can find peace that even when the cows are restless and we have this jagged energy, that I have to believe that everything is going to be okay.
So you take that positive out.
Because I have to.
Approach.
Because within time, we've been living on this planet for how many years? These are the worst of times. These are the best of times. This too shall pass. I have to believe that because in my whole life, there have been times when I've had a feeling that something bad was going to happen. And so I have to then, when I get that feeling, get into a place in my faith that, and this too will be okay. Things will be okay. I can still feel this jagged energy and know that things will be okay. I can have that faith at the same time. It's paradox. That's what they call paradox, where you can know something difficult is going to happen and it can be for okay.
Is that being realistic? That things are going to be okay?
Well, I'll tell you something. My spine was sawed in half when I was 12. I was in a hospital for a year.
Yeah.
It was painful, but it was okay. I went running on a bridge 2 weeks after I finally graduated from Brown. I got run over by a truck, thrown down the legs of a bridge, 86 feet, 4 fractures in my pelvis, several broken ribs, a collapsed lung. Was in the ICU for 2 weeks. But 2 weeks later, I ran the 10K, and I won it in 5.5-minute miles. It was okay. I've had breast cancer. I'm 5 years later. I'm okay. This too shall pass. It's okay. I've seen tragedy, but I'm still here. George, I'm a very realistic person.
Well, and you also have a different outlook at life, which I think is critical.
I'm very positive.
Yeah, you have to be.
What else am I supposed to do?
Do you ever associate yourself, though, with negative people? And I mean as friends, not clients.
I stay away from negative people.
Yeah. I try to, too. I try.
You know, but I'm not saying negative things don't happen.
And not all negative people are bad. Some of them just can't help themselves.
You know what? I put them in my Portuguese. My mother's side of the family is Portuguese. They come over the boat from Portugal, sixth grade education, my Aunt Evie. There's a phrase for people who are difficult like that. They call them cuchidinha. It means a poor thing. I just say, you know what? That's a poor thing. But I know that I'm so intuitively porous, I can't be around that person very long. For one thing, I gain weight, which I don't like, which you should know about. If you're around someone who's angry, their anger registers in your body. You release cortisol, insulin, you'll gain weight. And I don't like to gain weight, okay, number one. Number two, I tend to have seizures and fall asleep, lights out, which I find to be boring and not fun. So my intuition is when I start gaining weight and falling asleep, I know somewhere around the line is someone who's angry and not fun and what I would call a cuchidinga. So you know what? I just say, it's okay. I'd rather do something else. This too shall pass.
This too shall pass. And this shall pass. I want to thank you, Dr. Mona Lisa Schultz, for being on the program.
Thank you so much for having me on.
We appreciate it. The name of the new book is called The Intuitive Advisor. And their website, of course, is drmonalisa.com. For Michelle Lee, Jason Bowers, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.